When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Yager to the empty net. Score! Jaromir Jagr fills the empty net. And the Rangers lead 4-2.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Must be game time. Because I just saw a call disappear. Keith McPherson on The Fan. You got me for another 50 minutes. The Rangers are about to embark on game four down there in Sunrise, Florida, against the Florida Panthers. And Ross in Bergen County was
Ross
on the line.
Run.
And we all know Ross can run it up and fill the air with words. And I'm sure he had a bunch to say about the Rangers, but he dropped off like, nope, game time. Nothing to say.
Still 15 minutes to puck drop, though, because that's how ESPN does it. That's what it says right now. 15.
Yeah, but a kid like Ross probably has a ritual, probably has like a stretching routine, a prayer, special jersey.
But you know what?
Gotta line
I don't understand why the MSG doesn't go right up to 8:15 if they know the puck drop's going to be 8:15. Like, they have their own pregame show. Why not? They cut off at 8.
Yeah, just to get out of the way, maybe.
Maybe
television
things. Yeah.
It's just a TV thing, production thing. Anyway, 888-808-1019 if you want to join the show here. We do have a Rangers call. I thought all the Rangers calls got out of the way, but Lou in Astoria is back on The Fan. What up, Louie?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right. Hanging out watching the Mets.
Yeah, that's well. Listen, you're a New Yorker. Listen, the same here. This is the problem that I have. Where, I mean, I want to go quickly to the Yankees, but the Rangers. I'm living my life in Long Island, okay? I fell in love with the Islander.
And it's 2-0 Dodgers. Sorry, just had
to
put that in there.
But anyway, speaking about, like you just mentioned before, you started is saying, hockey, the problem that I got with hockey is the same as soccer. That's why I can't enjoy the game. Because the better team at times loses the game because of a lucky shot that was, you know, hit somebody, gets into the net. And that pisses me off, okay? I mean, this is one of the things that I know you love hockey now. You went to the Devils and everything else. More power to you. But, you know, I only watch, to be honest, the playoffs because it's great. The playoffs are great no matter what.
They're ridiculous so far. I mean, it's the same every year because of things like that. You don't know who's going to win. You can't say the whole game. It could be 2 hours of Panthers dominating and they lose.
And you get a hot goalie, you know, and then anything can happen. So, you know, like I said, I'm a New Yorker. I love my Islander. But you know what? If the Rangers win, I'm fine with it. You know, it's great. Now,
yeah,
going back to the Yankees.
Rangers win, I'm going to be at the parade. I'm going to be out there. I have a Devils logo on me. Shout out to the Devils. I saw Sheldon Keefe with the Devils pin on his blazer. Need one if anyone's out there listening. I'll be at the parade, though, repping the Devils. Like, yeah, good for y'all. Let's party, though, because when's the last time we had a parade and when's the next time we're having a parade here?
Exactly. And it's New York. You know what I'm saying? It's our city. I can hardly wait until your son gets older and I can at least see you, at least at Yankee Stadium, with the Bleacher Creature or any parades that you go to. I would love to see that. You know, I'm waiting for it.
Man, the next Yankee
right now,
parade is going to be entire
saying,
movie.
You know, once you get bigger, listen, time flies. You don't know. I'm telling you right now, you're going to say, dang, I got a gray hair.
I got
unbelievable.
Yeah.
They take care of you on TV. I don't know if it was your wife. You look great. I don't know what your wife did to
you. No, you can't see my gray hairs, but I've popped up with a few. Even recently, I saw one in my chin hair. I was like, oh, nah, Father Time. I've never seen a gray chin hair.
You're a baby. Stop making excuses. Okay, that's natural. Okay? It's better than doing steroids and losing your hair. Well, listen to me. The Jason Dominguez situation has to be taken care of. He's our future, okay? But Verdugo is doing okay. I love it. He's not going to be here next year. And right now, while we're having Soto, which is another Dominican compadre, like Jason Dominguez, can learn a lot. That's
yeah.
our future.
No,
I
yeah,
want
that's
him.
A great that's a great
I
point about
Jones
Dominguez
here.
Getting
I
around
Jones,
Soto.
I want Jones here, guy. So not only, I mean, I'm getting older, but that you and your son can enjoy a dynasty. This is what we need. George is not going to be here forever. Soto's not going to be here forever. Who knows what he's going to do next year. I want the Martian here. I want Dominguez to be here right away.
Before September, you're saying.
About Louis Gill. If Louis Gill, I'm telling you right now, if Louis Gill is that demoted or get or they do what they did when they made him get a Tommy John because they put him in the minors after he had three great starts.
Yeah.
And he tried to do his best and maybe overthrow. If they ruin Louis Gill, I'm telling you what. You know what? I'm going to call you up and says, you know, I'm not watching the Yankees either. You take care, my friend.
Thanks for the caller. I don't think they're going to ruin Louis Gill. I think that they know like we know. Right? One of the games I got to call was his 14 strikeout rookie record breaking performance. And I think everybody in baseball knows what that guy is. And you want that guy to be healthy. You want that guy to be able to contribute when it matters most in October. So if you do see him miss a start or two here, it is what it is, right? Like if they do choose to go to the youngest guy in the rotation, the guy with the least amount of service time, you know what I'm saying? If they go to the guy that just came off Tommy John surgery and say, hey, we're going to skip your start, he's got to battle as a pro and not let that shake him up and not let that change what he is on the mound. I'm just ready for whatever because Gerrit Cole coming back, like if you minus Luis Gill and you put Gerrit Cole there, I don't think you take a loss. But obviously we are enjoying what that young man is, what he can be. And I think the Yankees obviously know, right? There was a lot of talk this weekend about Michael King and the Soto trade. Oh, and Drew Thorpe and Johnny Brito and Randy Vasquez. They didn't ask for Luis Gill. They didn't say anything about Luis Gill. They didn't want Clark Schmidt. That's another win for Brian Cashman, but we don't count Cashman's wins, only Cashman's losses. Let's go to Toms River, New Jersey on the Fan. Zevy, what up, man? You got it.
What's up, Keith?
You know, watching the Mets lose and talking the talk.
Yeah, obviously. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Gerrit Cole.
Yes, sir.
Who do you think is going to go out?
Yeah, this is what I got to do, and I've been doing. I'm putting the guys that aren't coming out. Carlos Rodon and his contract is not coming out of the rotation with what you're getting out of him in the second year compared to what he was last year. There's no way you mess with that guy. Marcus Stroman in his first year as a Yankee, he's been very solid. He doesn't give up anything. He had that one solo shot, and obviously he got rocked in the Astros series, but you watch Marcus Stroman, he doesn't give up runs. And he's getting paid, and he's got 10 years of experience. Those two guys are locked in. They're not going anywhere. So then you get to Nestor Cortes, right? Nestor Cortes was an all-star 2 years ago, and he's a left-handed pitcher, and he's crafty, and he's been better. He's actually got the most innings pitched out of these guys. Maybe you see him go to the bullpen because back in 2019, he used to come out of the bullpen to replace Chad Green. When we would go Chad, Nestor, we'd open with Chad and then go to Nestor. And Nestor has been a journeyman and has come out of the bullpen. And I think he's a dog and a competitor where he'll just take it on the chin and say, you know what? I got to do what's best for the team. If it's Cole coming in and everybody else is kind of performing better than me, then so be it. I get the short straw, but whatever. Then you go to Clark Schmidt. I honestly don't think Clark Schmidt is taken out, but he could be, but I just don't see it. I don't see them messing with him in his second year, how long it took for Clark to become this, which he was projected to be. And then last is Luis Gill, who I think is the most likely of candidates to lose a start or come out of the rotation or be sent down or move to the bullpen or whatever they choose. And I'm trying to already prepare myself to not be upset about it. Like you heard Louis from Astoria say, I'm not watching the Yankees if they mess up Luis Gill. Let's not think that they're just going to mess the young man up by saying, hey, it makes the most sense for you to not make as many starts here once Cole comes back because we are trying to preserve your new arm after Tommy John surgery and make sure you're healthy and ready to go for the postseason push.
Yeah. And Keith, I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Get Torres off the team.
I've been trying to trade him since 2021. Thanks for the call. I've been trying to. I thought when they made the Josh Donaldson trade, I have the tweets. I was live on air that night. I'm like, tell me there's a move to get Gleyber out of here. Are they packaging Gleyber with Donaldson? Is there somebody that actually wants Donaldson? No, Cashman wants Donaldson. Just send Gleyber anywhere, please. 888-808-1019, like FM. Let's continue with the calls. I'm looking for Rangers calls, but I understand now the game is coming up. There's no time for calls. There's no time for conversation about the last game. We're in this game. So the rest of the way tonight will be calls on the Mets and Yankees. Let's take a call on the Mets before we continue with your Yankees calls. Richie is in Queens. Richie, you're on the Fans.
Keith, how are you?
I'm all right. Watching the game.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. As good as Gill's pitch. Is it Gill? I don't know. I get confused with the tone.
It's pronounced heel, but it's spelled G-I-L. So a lot of people just say Luis Gill.
Yeah, that's either way. Either way, he's phenomenal. And he's going to be the one that goes. When he comes back, unless they go to a six-man rotation, which I doubt, maybe he might do that, you know, to save it, because to keep Cole back and every sixth day. But they're in such good position right now, unlike the team in the next borough. And we spoke a while ago. I had good feelings about, obviously, Soto. There's not much to say about him. But, you know, getting Verdugo in there, Volpe coming back a second year, don't get much out of their catching. LeMay, who's going to come back, he'll be there. I think he'll be there. Third baseman. But
they get a good enough amount of hitting out of their catchers, not in the beginning of the season, but as of, like, the last month and some change. Trevino and Wells have been one of the better tandems.
I'll tell you the other thing. Stanton has been tremendous.
Yep. Nobody's booing Stanton now.
No, they didn't think they'd get anything from him. But let's get to the Mets. You know, I'm a San Francisco Giant fan. I told you that. Obviously, went to the game. They turned it around, too, by the way. They're 9-2, so I got something to root for. I watched the Mets, and the guy, and I mentioned it to your producer who answered the phone, McNeil is horrendous. I mean, this guy, and you know, and Jeff McNeil.
I know exactly who you're talking about. I just laughed. That's who you're pointing out. But yes, go on. I'll add.
This guy was, you know, a batting champ. He's had a couple of good years. I don't know what's happened to him. He steps out. He steps in the bucket on every lefty or righty. He's a rollover to second base waiting to happen. The days of him slamming the helmet and you know, and taking a deep breath. It's so far beyond that. He's a .230 hitter, and I didn't think that would happen at 30 years old. So when you look at him, obviously Alonso gives you the home run on occasion. I still don't get. Did you see that at bat with Lindor?
The one where he had his bat on his shoulders, or the one earlier today where he tried to bunt and he took a pitch off his finger? Where I'm like, what are you doing? You can't be hurt.
Well, that part I can probably live with, but the 3-2 Keats and I'm
no, that, and I was talking about that. His explanation for that: you can take a pitch, but be ready to swing.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, hey, I can't hit it, and then you're a major leaguer. You know, you're up against a rookie.
Yeah, and as you say that, I'm watching Jeff McNeil's at bat that he just had, and I'm like, nah, not good enough, bro. Pops out the center. And they leaves a runner on. It's like, are these guys not trying?
Yeah, and there's no way that Soto goes to the Mets. I know, unless he just wants to get the money, but I think he's a competitor, and I think he stays with the Yankees. I think the Yankees will make
the money
above and beyond.
The money. I'm not a rich guy, never been, but I know when you start playing with $500 million plus, it's more money than you can spend, more money than your family can spend in multiple lifetimes. The Yankees can put the money on the paper that does more than right by the guy, and then they can offer so many other things, whether it's endorsements, whether it's just things that come with being a Yankee, putting that Yankee hat and jersey on. I don't know. I know we're going to do this for the next 6 months. Steve Cohen, and it's just nonsense, because who has he landed? Who has Steve Cohen landed over?
This is my argument. This is my argument with Carter. We can go at it. When I said a year ago, and he screamed at me, do you believe in... And Steve, and I said, I have no idea. I mean, you lost Epler, you lost Showalter, the Verlander Scherzer thing fell out of bed. They had a 4-year plan, they're going to go into 5 years, it's going to be 2 years in a row where they're non-competitive, and you're going to tell me that Gilbert and Acuna, because it's the brother, younger brother of Acuna, those are going to be
saving. Jet Williams and these guys.
Soto?
Yeah, the
core's got to go. Lindor, I can't believe how bad he's gotten, and I thought Beatty had some upside. It's just ugly. Quintana is not. If he's your two, you're in big trouble. He's a four. So it's
maybe
it's
Francisco not, Alvarez will save the day.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be only saying. But getting back to the money real quick, there's so many dinners you can go to, and there's so many vacations you can take and cars you can buy, and if you get $300 million or $500 million, you're going to be able to do all of that stuff. So, and I think, you know, Keith, just to end it, when Trout signed that contract 6 years ago, I said, well, I wouldn't have done it. And they said, come on, loyalty. I said, loyalty, nothing. This team does not want to win. They've proven not to win. And, yeah, if he wants the money and the notoriety, he's got it. But after 10 years in the league being a top player that nobody knows who you are, really, you know, and yeah. This winning has got to be part of the game, you know.
I do know. Great call, Richie. And I agree. Winning is everything. Winning cures everything. Fixes everything. And you don't want to take the money and struggle, right? You guys forget Robinson Cano? Robinson Cano, when he left the Yankees to go to the Seattle Mariners, and then reports were that he was homesick or he couldn't find the food that he wanted out there. Life in Seattle was so different across the country in the Pacific Northwest than it was in New York, you think? Oh, guess who mentors Juan Soto? Guess who one of the first people to talk to Juan Soto when the Yankee trade went down was? Oh, yeah, Robinson Cano. So you think Robinson Cano is not going to be in his ear when time comes to tell him the difference between being a Yankee and being a Met? He doesn't have to tell him. It's obvious. And again, we can play this game on WFAN where hosts are going to talk about Juan Soto to the Mets, and it's just going to sound dumber and dumber. It's going to sound more and more pathetic. But we can play the game. We can play the game because in theory, yes, he's going to hit free agency. And when you try to think of who the players are going to be, who the suitors are going to be for his services, it only makes sense to say he's already here in New York. He loves it in New York. The richest owner in the sport is right over there. But there are just things money can't buy. You can't buy the brand. Juan Soto is already entrenched in the Yankee way, the Yankee brand, wearing that uniform now since February, being in Yankee Stadium now for over 2 months. I mean, by the time this October comes, let's play that out. That's something you guys are missing, right? Let's say the Yankees win the World Series with Juan Soto. He's just going to dip and put on the... Look, it doesn't make any sense. Let's say they come just short. They get to the World Series and they lose. You think Juan Soto's not going to feel like he has unfinished business with this team? You think Juan Soto doesn't want to be a part of the next Yankee team to end the drought and be immortalized in that way? He's already a Hall of Famer, generational talent. You think he wants to put the Met cap on and tarnish his personal brand? You think Under Armour, who lost Aaron Judge as a client, and now they have him? You think the people in Under Armour are telling him, yeah, that Met City Connect jersey wouldn't look half bad on you? Hell no. It just doesn't sound right, man. The Mets need to blow this thing up, and they need to rebuild. And then they need to focus on becoming a perennial contender. And then maybe in 10 years, the next big free agent will say, yeah, I see what you built here. I see the farm system. I see, let's talk about Yamamoto. I could do a whole show on this, right? Did you guys pay attention to the whole Yamamoto saga between the Mets and the Yankees? We spent a ridiculous amount of time on WFAN. Who's going to win? Yamamoto, Yankees, Mets. Oh, Brian Cashman went to Japan. Oh, Steve Cohen went to Japan. Oh, the Yankees have number 18 waiting for Yamamoto. Number 18 will be retired for the Mets this upcoming weekend. You should have known right there he was never signing with the Mets. But that's just a number thing. The real reason you should have never known is because when he had his press conference at Dodger Stadium, in the back where they do their stuff with the blue heaven and all of this stuff, like, he said he wanted to go to a place where he knew he could win. Consistently. That's why I laughed at J.D. Martinez talking about, oh, I'm addicted to postseason baseball. And you sign with the Mets? Just tell us you didn't want to go to San Francisco, and you were waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the Mets players told Steve Cohen via text, hey, Steve, you don't know what to do. Here's a move that you can make. Might not actually fit what we're trying to do, but go ahead and make this move to pacify some of us and to please some of the fan base. I know half the Mets fans are like, this doesn't make any sense. Why are you spending money on J.D. Martinez if you're not spending money? Yamamoto said he wanted to go somewhere that he could win. He even talked so much about going to a Dodgers playoff game when he was younger. I forget what year it was, but watching the Dodgers organization, they're in it every year. They win every year. It's a guarantee that you're going to the postseason. No coincidence they're in town this weekend, and Mets fans are saying, oh, Juan Soto, just look at Yamamoto and Ohtani. They're wearing Dodgers uniforms because of the brand that the Dodgers have built, and they don't win World Series. They went to the Mickey Mouse one and won it in a 60-game season, but they fail ultimately at winning the whole thing, but they're in it every year. Yamamoto was always going to join Ohtani, and he used Steve Cohen to drive up the price. So Joel Wolf was just, all right, going back to the Dodgers. Can you do this? Can you match this? Yeah? All right, let's try again. Let's get them all the way up to $325 million for a young pitcher that was supposed to be a steal of a deal coming over from Japan. And then they left the Mets high and dry to sign with the Dodgers. And look where we are now. It actually was a blessing in disguise because you didn't need a Yamamoto on this team. When is Kodai Senga coming back? Kodai Senga is not in a rush. Because he's somewhere with that ghost for ghost in the Mets. Like, they're not good. Like, there's no reason to rush. What am I rushing back for if I don't feel 100% right? It's not like I can come in and take the ball every 5 days and change any of this. Stop confusing the universe. Stop telling us one thing, and then the results show another thing. I've been talking about how dysfunctional this franchise is from the owner to the GM to the manager to the players. I feel like the players don't believe. Some of the players are paid. Some of the players aren't. Some of the players are playing for their careers. You know, can't blame Joey Wendell anymore. Can't blame Daniel Vogelbach anymore. It's the same old Mets. Jarvis is in Harlem, New York on the Fan. Hello, Jarvis.
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
I'm all right, you know. As time is expiring here, I'm looking forward to going home and watching some New York Yankees baseball.
Yeah, same here, too. Yeah, I was listening to Evan Roberts in the show. I was cracking up. He said, I hate the Mets when they blew a 2-0 lead. I was cracking up.
I get it. Like, I would, too. It's miserable. I love baseball, and I love my team, and I love going to the ballpark and everything that comes with it. If I was on the other side, I don't know how some of y'all do it, for real.
Oh, man, that was funny. I was cracking up, man. But, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, but the Mets, man, you know what? I'm listening to, like, the midday shows, like, Salazar's a Mets fan. And all I hear keeps saying, King Cohen. Yeah. I wish you stop saying that. I mean, what you stop with me? You can sit there and be a Mets fan. You can believe King Cohen all you want to.
Yeah, you can say a lot of things on this mic. It's not going to change what comes out on that field.
Right, exactly. I mean,
yeah, even Evan shaved his beard. Oh, the power of the beard. You're powerless. You have no impact on what goes on with these guys. The Mets are going to Met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Very good. Yeah, I know they got a win against the San Francisco Giants, but they still lose to this. But
a win. Another desperation win. That's like, all right, we got to find a way. The law of averages says that we're not this bad. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. 888-808-1019. Jim is in Manville on the Fan. Go for it, Jim.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, did you do a game this weekend?
Did I do a game this weekend? No, it was Memorial Day weekend. I was completely off.
Did you didn't do a game like in the booth? I heard you guys did a game in the booth.
I did call the Yankee game on May 17th. May 18th.
You know what I heard? I heard...
Go on.
Dude, you're
describe
such a homer,
for the audience,
bro.
What that meant. Yeah, I got to dump your call. Some of you guys are just not good at this. I want him to continue, though. I want him to continue. We'll drop him. Good. If you got to be mad at me, be mad at me, because I can handle it. I can take it. What you can't handle, what you can't take, is that the Mets are absolute garbage, trash can organization, and they've been. But somebody's got to tell it to you straight. I'm not a Mets fan, so I'm not coming in here and repackaging this as, oh, we're going to get Juan Soto, or, oh, this young prospect is on the way, or, oh, I can shave my beard and this is going to turn it around. Whether I was a Yankee fan, whether I was a Expos fan, any baseball fan can look at the Mets and be like, this is a mess, they need to blow it up. There's nothing to celebrate here. And I know it hurts to hear the truth, right? When I talk about the LED lights that were added for Edwin Diaz's entrance. It has nothing to do with baseball. Adding a dance crew has nothing to do with you winning games. Make moves that make your team better. It's just dysfunction. And even the Met fan calls, it's my fault, right? Because I called the Yankee game, I'm a Yankee homer, I'll be that. I'm glad to be. Me being a Yankee homer and a Yankee fan, it worked out for me. What is you being a Met fan, Jim and Manville, doing for you? You're calling the fan, making explicit sounds on air that are, first off, pause, and second off, not appropriate for the children that listen to my program. 888-808-1019-FM. Like, if you want to be mad at me, be mad at me. I'll be the bad guy. You need a bad guy like me to tell you the truth. To tell you the truth, the Mets are a joke, and they've been. But, like, you know, a couple years ago when I came into the fan, it's, oh, King Cohen, the new George Steinbrenner, please. Oh, the Mets won 101 games, the gold standard of baseball, then absolutely embarrassed themselves in the postseason. Just stop. Just stop. Crawl before you walk. This is the inflection point. They need to blow this up again and actually use the powers of their owner and get rid of some of these contracts. Whatever you can sell off, whoever you can sell off, do it because you can eat the money, right? This guy is super rich. We've never seen an owner like this. We got the Steve Cohen tax. That's another point, right? They have a Steve Cohen tax. They have the CBT luxury tax where Hal Steinbrenner's going out there to talk about, hey, it's not sustainable for us to be having these payrolls like this every year. Right, we're giving our competitors money. We're getting 110% taxed on the dollar. That exists so Steve Cohen can't come in and do what he set out to do, buy up players and win a championship. And now Steve Cohen is getting hip to the game. Well, this isn't as easy as I thought. Let me find somebody that's smarter than me at this. David Stearns, here you go. Yeah, we're going to add a $700 million player in Juan Soto to this payroll. Well, you better sell off then. If you think you're adding Juan Soto in the offseason, you better get rid of these contracts. No way are you signing Pete Alonso. 888-808-1019. Mike is in Mountain Lakes. Mike, you're on the fan. All right, let's go to Moses in Brooklyn. Thanks for holding, Mike. Is on hold because he wasn't ready. But you got it, Moses. You're on.
Hey, Keith. Listening every night. Love your show. Just big Yankee fan. Just want to talk about the Yankees. I think Judge is going to break the AL home run record this season. I think he's going to get MVP. What do you think?
Deja vu. I don't know. I watch this guy, and, you know, I have some detractors that, like, on Twitter, and I don't care because I stand on business, and I know everything I've said on this radio. They're like, oh, Keith thought Judge was hurt, should go on the IL. Yeah, where did I get that from? Him being hurt all last year and being hurt in spring training. I never doubted the guy and said that he wasn't who he is. I never said that he couldn't return to this form. I never said that he couldn't hit home runs. I said, where is that guy that when we all watch his at-bats, you better be paying attention because he's going to hit it out. He's back. And it seems like he's back with an vengeance, with a vengeance for all of the naysayers, all the detractors, all the people that doubted him, and this Ryan Blakeney cat that ejected him. He never wanted to be ejected, right? He's not Bryce Harper. He never wanted an ejection. And now, since he got ejected once, he has been on a ridiculous tear. Maybe he does break his own record. And guess what? We benefited from it watching it 2 years ago. If it happens again this year, so be it. I'm not going to say he can't do it. I'm done saying what Aaron Judge is or isn't or can't because him balling out benefits me. I have a blast watching him hit homers, two homers, homer every day.
Yeah, he's a beast, definitely. Can I make a couple more points?
You got it.
I just think it was a great move with hitting LeMahieu at ninth. You know, Volpe's on a 19-game hitting streak. You know, I just think it was a great move.
We'll see how it plays out tonight. Thanks for the call, Moses. We'll see how it plays out tonight. But they declared that last week. Before we knew when DJ was returning, they let you know. Volpe's on a hitting streak. I think he's going for 20 tonight. Volpe's on a hitting streak. We moved the kid. We're not moving the kid again. And that was my whole gripe with that, which I understand people, oh, you were wrong about Volpe. You guys got to listen. These are nightly shows. So all of us have daily takes. And I'm hoping they expire. I hit refresh on my information daily because I have to come back and host another show. My initial take on Volpe was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It wasn't broke when he was sitting sixth and he was balling out. Did I expect him to continue batting over 400? No, no one does. But what I said was, hey, you moved the guy around a bunch last year. Give him a month. Give him 2 months before you move him. And they moved him, and it took a month for him to adjust. He's adjusted now. He's your leadoff hitter for the foreseeable future. The Volpe era is upon us. Good. I'm glad. I'm confident now in him leading off. Do not move him again in favor of DJ LeMahieu. Duh. Put DJ at the 9 spot. Let's see what DJ does. Because the 9 spot, as people know, watching baseball, can also be like having another leadoff man. You put DJ there and he's hitting, and you turn the lineup over. And this Yankees lineup could actually be even more unstoppable if you think about that. 888-808-1019 FM. The Fan in New York. Keith McPherson coming back with like 20 minutes to go. I'll try to get all my calls in, but Yankee baseball comes your way next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cohn. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cohn in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cohn has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, let's talk about it, Rami. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. During that break, the Rangers lit the lamp. And obviously, if you heard the show in the first, I don't know, 2 hours, we were talking about the power play. I gave you guys the numbers, and Rami said it, and I said we expected that to change, right? Trocheck missed a shot, and then you're watching, I'm watching the Mets, but you're saying he followed up with a power play goal. The Rangers lead 1-0.
Yeah, well, he missed the shot on the doorstep. A great play by Panarin. This was earlier in the game, not on the power play, one of the first shifts. The Rangers then take a penalty. So Panarin made a great play to move the puck quickly, which is why he's been struggling, because he likes to hold the puck for a while, and they've been getting on him quick. Moves the puck quickly. Trocheck's right in front, misses a doorstep shot. This time, a set play off the faceoff on the power play after the Rangers killed the Florida power play, and now they have their first power play goal of the series. Another set play off the faceoff, and then from the high slot, he just rips it, and a great shot by Trocheck. Didn't miss that one. Rangers up 1-0, and they're pushing, which is a good thing, because I said they better take the lead first because there's so many Ranger fans there. I saw the pictures.
Yeah, they were chanting Igor before the game started.
There's so many Ranger fans there that if you can get an early lead and you get that Florida fan base that feels like
momentum,
they should be up 2-1,
your
get
thoughts
them
become things. Yeah. It starts to become too heavy for them, understanding that they could go down 3-1, and that's tough to come back from, because then that means you got to win 3 games before they win 1. What are the chances, the odds? Don't tell them the numbers. It's looking good right now for the Rangers, but it's early in this game. Good start.
I will say this. Vinny Trocheck, when he has a point, the Rangers are undefeated in the playoffs in games that Trocheck has a point.
Count it. Good stat. Good stat. All right, let's try and get to the phones. We're running out of time. Mike is in Mountain Lakes. Mike, you're on The Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good, good. I knew you'd be ready after the break. Got back to you.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I literally went in to pick up some food. I thought I'd be sitting for a while.
All good.
All
good.
But so I don't know what I can say and not say on the radio, but I want to call out the other guy that called a total douche.
Yeah, I don't know how many people heard that because we had to dump the call. I just went out into the newsroom and said to the guys, I'm like, did you guys hear that caller? I don't think they heard it, but go on.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous. But I did hear both your calls for the Yankee game on both days. And you know what? As another athlete or ex-athlete or former athlete, I will say, good for you. It was awesome. It was just like committed, and you know, you're getting your feet wet in a whole different. It's totally different than the show you're doing now, which you do such a great job with. You know, and it takes time, but I think you rocked it. I really, really, truly did.
It was a lot. It was overwhelming for me, but like as a former athlete, you can't be overwhelmed in the moment. It's fight or flight. And I flew the best that I could through 2 games, never calling a baseball game and never having that perspective in Yankee Stadium as a diehard fan that has gone to hundreds, I repeat, over 100, maybe even close to over 200 games in the X amount of years that I've been pulling up to the stadium as a fan. It was a lot of information, a lot happening at once, but I took it on, and I'm glad some people enjoyed it. I think that caller was trying to more lean into the fact that, oh, you're calling games for the Yankees now? Like, no, I didn't call games over Memorial Day weekend, but the 17th and 18th I did. And he's like, oh, you're a homer. And, you know, he's practicing his Gawk 3000 on air. And it's like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, and I just real quick, I was like, just so impressed. I thought it was great, and yeah, I thought that the guy, it's so simple, so easy to call and do that when you're behind a phone or a screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so much less.
I don't meet any of these people in person. Nobody is negative. Nobody's nasty. Nobody has a bad thing to say in person. And I'm very available. I'm at the stadium. I'm at DJs. I'm around.
That's great.
But people know you can't bring that energy to someone face to face. You gotta do that anonymously online or over the phone. So good for him. I'm sure he's still listening.
Yeah. What's so funny, the last thing is, like, go Rangers, but I want to say I used to ride the school bus every day with Paul Maurice, the coach of the Florida Panthers.
Oh,
so,
wow.
But I'm still go Rangers. Yeah, I'm from a big hockey town in Northern Ontario, Canada, and big Rangers fan, and good for Paul. He's doing well. So
yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. 888-808-1019, like FM. Keith McPherson on the Fan, running out of time. Let's get to these calls. My guy Morris in Brooklyn back on the Fan, a consistent caller into my show. Thank you, Morris.
Sort of consistent. I don't call every day, but I try to balance it out. I appreciate it.
You've got a way to get on. A lot of people call and don't get on. I feel like you've been on at least four or five times in the last month or so.
Yeah.
Good.
So I actually spoke to you last week, like you just said, and I guess I was wrong about people who hate on you and not calling on the Fan. I guess I was wrong about that. They somehow managed to call on the Fan.
But see, that one, that was a butthurt Mets fan that instead of being mad at his owner, president of baseball operations, or just the players on his team, expects me, as not a Mets fan, to come in here and be like, oh, it's okay. They'll be all right. They'll get them next time. No, this is bad. And I don't have to come in here and deflect and be like, they'll get
jealous.
Juan Soto. Or I'll shave my beard. Not to throw Sal and Evan under the bus, but those are Mets fans. Those are your mans. Those are your guys. So, like, if you don't like what somebody who's not your guy has to say, deal with it.
Yeah, they'll never get the opportunity to succeed if they go on this path. But the way they treat people, we shouldn't waste our time on that. I have a few points. I'm going to go very quick because it's like the end of the show and we're getting ready for the Yankee game. DJ LeMahieu, I'm not so sure. I'm not that excited because I just hope that he's going to be good. It's not for sure he's going to be good. And you just don't know what you're going to get with him. And I want to say something that might be a little controversial, but like, I think the big difference between why the Yankees are not, like I spoke to last time, why they're not making it into the World Series and actually winning World Series and ALCSs, I think is because their big players don't hit in the postseason, especially Aaron Judge. I think that's one of the biggest differences between Aaron Judge and Derek Jeter.
Every October, guys striking out coming up. Yes, every October, we're hoping that Juan Soto is the change this year, and Aaron Judge shows up as well, and everybody else in the lineup.
Yeah.
Maybe even
that's
DJ.
Why Aaron
DJ
Judge,
has shown up.
That's why, and just real quick, that's why Derek Jeter is Derek Jeter and a Hall of Famer, and Judge,
That's why first favorite player was Bernie Williams, because I'm like, this guy's going to homer or hit a double or come up big in a big moment. It's all about what you do in October. Thanks for the call, Morris. Just got to move the line along. Yeah, well, we can't fast forward to October, so we don't know what they're going to do in October. We expect them to be in October, so we'll see what they do tonight. As far as DJ is concerned, it does not matter. Like, this team is fine without him, but he's getting paid $15 million a year. He's got a decorated back of the baseball card. Like, if DJ can give us 75% of the good DJ that we've seen, it's a plus for this team. Now, John Birdie, I don't know how long he's going to be out, but you know, like I said, you make a move for John Birdie when DJ goes down, and these things work themselves out. Similar to how I think the bullpen or the rotation, rather, will work itself out, right? Look at this. Birdie gets hurt. We don't know how long he's out. DJ comes back. So, okay, DJ and Oswaldo are playing third. But you also, like I said, can't tell me that Gleyber gets to play every single day doing the bonehead things that he's doing. You can't tell me that he's in there every day. DJ can play second base and have a day where Oswaldo plays third and Gleyber sits down once a week. It can literally be once a week. Let's go to John in Sayreville on the Fan. John, you're on. You got it.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good.
I just wanted to say I like listening to you a lot, but I got a little bone to pick with you.
Sure.
Yeah, so back like the end of April, you said like, enough of the season has passed by where Judge is kind of like showing you who he's going to be.
I don't know if I said exactly that. But what I said is, it's not early anymore. As we kept saying, it's early. Judge was terrible, and he won't lie about it. He said it himself. I was not showing up. It was a timing thing. It was a batting stance thing. But in my mind, I'm like, he's still hurt. They pulled him from spring training. If he's ailing, shut him down now so that he can be right for October. I'm glad to be wrong. I'm glad he's healthy. When he's healthy, it's great for the New York Yankees. Thanks for the call, John. There's just no way. You guys can go back to the tapes. You think I said Aaron Judge in his struggles is what he definitively is going to be for the rest of his career? Hell no. If I'm a Yankee homer, why would I want that? If I'm a Yankee hater, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, saying those things. No, I need Judge to be Judge. I go to the games. I watch every game. I know what I'm looking at as far as Aaron Judge. He wasn't right, but it wasn't a health thing. It was a timing thing and a batting stance thing. Now he's out of his mind again. He's going crazy again. Good, maybe he'll hit a homer tonight. Coming up next, the Yankees pregame show, the Yankees game, the Yankees postgame, and then Chris McMonagle after that. I'll be back tomorrow at 6:30. We'll do that for the rest of this week. KM in the PM. I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.